Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Pulse of Threat Dog, Badlands Baby. Franchising today, sustainable growth through sensible franchising. Franchise today, sustainable growth through sensible franchising. Franchise today.
Well, hello everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. I have my co-host Stan Friedman from the great city of Atlanta. Stan, how are you today?
Doing great, Paul. How about yourself? I hope you're getting better and getting on the mend. You've had a cold for way too long.
Yeah, a lot of franchising has. 3 weeks now since we left ISA. My God, where has that time gone? 3 weeks ago, that convention ended, and it feels like it was just yesterday. And, of course, now we're starting to butt up against, you know, upcoming events, the franchise finance conference and, of course, the multi-unit conference April 23rd and 26th. And I know, Stan, you're going to both events, are you not?
I am, and I can't wait to go to the Franchise Times conference this year. As I sit here just having completed my obligatory weekly Jimmy John's number two, looking at the agenda for the Franchise Times conference, and good old Jimmy John's going to be there accepting an award and doing the Dealmaker Awards on Tuesday the 14th. So it'll be great hearing from him and doing something more than just eating the food. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, so that's coming up right in March. That's just a couple of weeks away. And then, of course, multi-unit conference. You know, there's another conference that popped up on my radar, which is pretty interesting. I don't know if anybody is aware of it. Maybe our guest might even be aware of it. We'll ask him. There's the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit
in Dallas,
Texas.
Maybe
March 28th to 30th. That's an interesting one that just popped up on my radar.
You know, it kind of snuck up on me too, Paul, and I really didn't know much about it. And then I started to look at the agenda and saw that it really did intrigue me. I just wasn't, you know, this year started too early, and, you know, conferences hitting us like as soon as the Franchise Expo South was about the second week in January, and then into IFA and now Franchise Times and Multi-Unit right behind that. There's almost no room on the calendar to try to squeeze another one in, but it looked like a good conference.
Yeah. It does. So, it looks like it is going to be, and it looks like I'll probably venture up there, being I could just drive up the road and see what it's all about. It does look like a good agenda, so it's exciting. And this week I do not have anything for, you know, you just can't make that up. I think the whole Burger King thing in Israel of serving two burgers and two beers with sex toys, I think I'll let that just sit for a while.
Yeah, that's still, I think, out of all of the you can't make that ups that you've ever brought to us, Paul, I think that one's going to kind of like take the cake as the prize, and hopefully it'll take something really incredible to beat it. So I'm almost hoping that you just don't find something that can top that.
So I want to ask your opinion, now that we're talking about Burger King. Now they're making a bid, and then it looks like they're going to buy Popeyes. What an unbelievable transaction that's going to be.
Yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, that's two iconic brands.
I don't know. Yeah, reading into it, I heard that it's really a strong strategy for international development of Popeyes, I guess, using Burger King's success and channels in the international arena. So sounds like it could be a good thing, but boy, you talk about two behemoths. It'll be interesting to see how leadership, you know, pans out. And of course, with Cheryl Batchelder over at Popeyes, I think the world of her. It'll be interesting. It'll be real interesting. And also,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, those are two unlikely players.
Yeah, they are. You know, I saw something too about Arby's value just skyrocketing, and it's interesting to see that once it was spun out of Yum Brands, that it just continues to rise. And I've seen, I'm not Yum Brands, I was thinking of A&W too. That continues to rise. Arby's has continued to rise. It's an interesting time. And of course, it would have been nice if our friend Poosner had actually gotten the confirmation as a labor secretary. But, oh, well, we can't have it all, right, Stan?
Yeah, disappointed. I'm a lot disappointed, actually. I thought Andy Poosner was going to be the greatest choice for that role and a difference maker. You know, we always say the pendulum seldom stops in the middle. If you take the last 8 years of regulation and all the labor-intense problems that have been foisted upon franchising, you couldn't do any better to swing the pendulum all the way back into the other direction than we would have done with Andy Poosner in place. But, you know, no administration comes into office without a couple of hiccups along the way, and not every pick makes it on the first pass. So he turned out to be the casualty, but I'm really regretting that, though. I really thought that we'd be in for a much smoother ride with tailwinds with a guy like that at the helm of labor.
Yep, absolutely. It was interesting. I did some training yesterday with new brokers coming through the Franchise Brokers Association's new training program, and I did an introduction to franchising. And then I did an hour and a half on the introduction to industry segments. And I only bring that up because we based that entire training session on the economic outlook put out by the IFA just a few weeks ago. And reading some of that document, and anybody in franchising, if you haven't yet read that document, I suggest you do. It really gives some good insight into the top 10 business lines of franchising, and of course also at the state level. But it really gives an interesting outlook with the new administration in place, both, you know, pros and cons. I think it was a very, very well put together document.
Well, I haven't gotten my eyes on it, so now you've intrigued me and whet my appetite, so I'm going to be looking for that. And I wanted to just piggyback on your call out for Arby's and suggest to you that they, too, are doing an incredible amount of reinvention and refranchising and upgrading, and I'm seeing a lot of store design changes, and I think good things are coming from Arby's. I think you're right about spot on with them as well as you were with Popeyes. It's going to be interesting to watch what comes from some of these legacy brands that are actually reinventing themselves for the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. And today's show, you know, we're going to talk about making a difference for emerging brands. And, of course, as you know, Stan, I am very, very passionate about emerging brands, having spent so many years focused on that. Yeah. And today's guest, Scott Schubiger, the president and co-founder of Z Growth Partners, just in some communications yesterday, I will quote him as saying, "From an investor standpoint, the main risk of investing in early-stage emerging franchise companies is the inability for the company to have a cohesive and successful franchise sales strategy. This risk is greatly mitigated as the fund, as a condition of investing, will have its affiliate company, Z Growth Partners, be the outsourced franchise sales solution for each company." It sounds like they really have a good thing, and I'm anxious to hear. So without further ado, Scott, welcome to Franchise Today.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Paul and Stan. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really happy to be speaking with you today.
Well, we certainly are as well. And, you know, it's interesting as I've gotten to know you a little bit better and seeing some of the things that are happening with Z Growth Partners. So we're really anxious to share that today. So why don't we just go way, way back and talk a little bit about you, the individual, your trek into franchising, all the way through brief stint at NRD Capital. Of course, you and Stan are going to talk a little bit about some common denominator in your past, and then take us all the way up to the formation of Z Growth Partners.
Yes, certainly. And you're exactly right, Paul. It's been a little bit of a circuitous route into franchising years ago, which many of us, I'm sure, have. But it's been truly a passion over the last decade and a half, almost two decades of just pure pleasure working with emerging brands. But if we go back just real briefly on the early days, you know, when I got out of college at my football collegiate days, I was going to be a football coach. So I went on to get my master's degree paid for as a graduate assistant, thought I was going to be the next Lou Holtz in the early 90s, and went out to coach a football team in a Cal Country USA, Pennsylvania town in a boarding school. Although it was a good experience, you know, for a 24-year-old guy, looking at cows every night, it was wasn't perhaps the most exciting thing. And I remember I got a call from an old college buddy in May, you know, right before I had to go see the headmaster and tell him whether I was coming back or not for the next year. And he was a Massachusetts Boston guy and was summoned down to run a sales office for a telecommunications company in northern New Jersey. And boy, did they stick this guy, you know, in an unknown territory. And he basically made a plea for me to come help him, knowing I was a New Jersey boy. And, you know, after about 5 minutes of arguing, he told me what he was going to pay me, which was probably four times what I made as a history teacher and coach. And my wife of 25 years now I was dating and getting close to hopefully getting enough money cobbled together for an engagement ring. And I said, well, this makes a lot of sense. So I summoned I marched back up to New Jersey, began my sales career in a small telecommunications company. And boy, talk about cutting teeth in sales. You know, it was one of those outfits where you would knock on 50 small businesses a day, come back at 5:30 and have your manager count cards and make sure you did indeed visit 50 companies and hopefully get one yes and 49 no's. And it was just a great training ground. Worked my way up through the ladder and worked into New York City for major accounts, and then went over and did several good years at Cisco Systems and HP. So the early stages of my sales career were in the technology industry, and I learned a great deal about, you know, those really good organizations and what it means to have a world-class Swift sales organization. And truly, companies like Cisco and HP had that in spades. So just the good lessons learned. I then was sitting at the beach one day with a neighbor and a friend who's an executive at HFS, which became Sendint and now is Realogy. And I know, Sam, you know this company well. And I said to Tom, sitting there, perhaps late in the afternoon and saying, boy, I really would like to get some international experience under my belt. You know, I've done a lot of things domestically, and I want to round out my resume. And Tom was gracious enough to introduce me to who now is a co-founder with me at Zgrowth in Javier Paraga. And he said, you know, I've got a guy over at Realogy, Sendint at the time, who runs all of the real estate brands, franchising brands internationally. And he's looking for somebody to run Sotheby's International Real Estate for the Asia Pacific region. And I said, boy, that'd be great. That'd be exciting. I've never been in franchising. He goes, but you've been in sales. You know, Realogy, Sendint Realogy is a tremendous franchise training ground. And sure enough, he proved to be right. Right. I was lucky enough to get the job. And Sam and Stan, as you know, sort of like there's a football coaching tree that Parcells and Belichick turned out lots of football coaches. Well, you know, Sendint really is a franchise sales tree, coaching tree, if you will, where there are a lot of folks that got trained there under one roof with a conglomeration of brands. And it really was a great way to cut my teeth in the industry. So I had successful stints there. On the international front, sold myself out of a job, so I guess that was good, right? We sold every market we could over there. And basically, I was lucky enough to come back and run a domestic brand, Better Homes and Gardens, when they launched that brand domestically for real estate franchising. And then what happened was, along the way, these folks, you know, the Sam Casses of the world, Stan, who you would know, and Tom went on to work for Henry Silverman, who founded HFS, still does today. You know, he works with him now in a real estate private equity fund. And these folks who had gotten into private equity had gotten into acquiring franchises, which, of course, in the last decade has been extraordinarily relevant. And so when they would get these franchise companies, they would get under the covers a little bit, do further due diligence, and they would be like, well, you know, we kind of need we're a little concerned about the franchise development. Scott, you know, can you come in and with the team and grow the brand? So thankfully, I've had some good mentors along the way who believed in what we as a team could do, and we had some great success at companies like Rita's Ice, which was a 30-year-old iconic Philadelphia dessert brand, and we basically took that out of the reaches of Philadelphia and turned it into a global player with deals as far away as China and many, many deals out in Texas and in California. So we made it a true national brand. That story repeated itself again that when Sam Katz at TZV Capital had made a majority investment in Lyft Brands, one of the major brands within the Lyft Brands portfolio, which we all would know, is Snap Fitness. And I had the pleasure of working over there with Peter Taunton and helping strategize on growth for that brand. And so the story had repeated several times, and I finally said, you know, after being in many private equity boardrooms and, you know, getting asked a million questions on how we're going to grow the EBITDA, that, you know, I wanted to kind of get on that side of the fence a little bit. And so I had the pleasure of getting to know Aziz Hashim, of course, over at different conferences, was really enamored with his approach, as just about anyone would be, and how astute he was with franchising. And I had gotten word of what he was about to be, what he was up to, right? Like what he wanted to be launching out soon. And so I said, I have to get some one-on-one with this individual. And for those of you who know Aziz, he is extraordinarily hard to get pinned down one-on-one, right? So I had the clever idea of sponsoring a chairman dinner so that I could sort of corner him. I don't know if he knows this part of the story, and be in a room with him where I could get 5 minutes of his time. And after an initial discussion, I was fortunate enough to be hired as his first operating partner for NRD Capital. So then that led me to just a crash course in, you know, private equity, coming at it from that end and making acquisitions or looking at making acquisitions of emerging franchise brands. And it was just a wonderful experience. And yet, although it was wonderful, it even further fueled my fire, if you will, for wanting to go out on our own. You know, this was gnawing at me for several years. The stars hadn't quite aligned with Javier Paraga, who was my first boss in franchising. And, you know, finally with the likes of Al Mendoza, Javier and I, the stars aligned about 15 months ago, and we were able to launch Z Growth Partners in January of 2016. And, you know, really after identifying a niche in the marketplace, we decided to go out and launch Z Growth Partners, and it's just been a whirlwind ever since. And I'm sure we'll get into what Z Growth is all about in a second.
You know, you talk about the bench and the coach's corner at Ascendant. Through all the different iterations that I was employed with ERA Real Estate, three different times in my career, but the Ascendant iteration of that employment was probably the most memorable. And we were kind of famous, I think, for churning, not franchisees, but salespeople. You know, more people came and left that couldn't make it in our environment. But when you are
correct,
working under that kind of intensity, those who did succeed, it's no wonder that, you know, that fraternity is guys like you and Del Sancho and Jose Perez and Arnie Kernis, and I can think on and on and on to all the other names that have been.
We could go down the list, yeah.
But it's no surprise, and I really do think that as I've been reading some of the material in preparation for today, that Aziz comes into the conversation is no surprise either. And I think kind of what I see you guys doing in your business on the franchise sales side is akin to what he's doing in his business with the investments that they make bringing operators in. So, you know, they're building an organization of partners that are investing in brands and then helping to manage the operations. And I see your team investing and building brands and doing the things on the front end to bring the right people to the party and to help them grow and scale their businesses correctly.
You know, Stan, you're exactly spot on, and that's just it. And I can point to one really good example. You know, in the last year and a half, we've looked at 73 companies and invested in three. You know, and one thing I learned from Aziz and my friends in private equity is it's deal discipline, deal discipline, deal discipline. Not that they're not good companies or good people. It's just that how do I best position and partner with these companies for mutual success, right? And we know what we do well. And if it's out of our box, we then turn them over to perhaps Franchise Foundry or perhaps someone else that it might fit at the time. So, you know, the real thing is just sticking with deal discipline. And we couldn't be more proud of two significant relationships that we've built already with really tried and true senior organizations. One being a new name that many might not have heard. It's called Due North. But many in franchising would have heard of Calhalla. And so Kevin Blackwell and the family, who owned Calhalla, a multitude of brands. I mean, when they exited and sold, they had, I think, to the tune of over 3,000 locations operating in 26 countries, right? So they were a big outfit of multiple brands. And what Kevin said to us, Javier, Al, and myself, in meetings months ago as we commenced our partnership, he said, you know, this is truly a case of 1 + 1 = 3. And what he meant by that was they're extraordinary with an infrastructure and support and operations. And even a big group like that oftentimes struggled with really good, prudent, you know, growth and franchise growth, development growth. And so when we plugged that piece into the equation, boy, it seems like a really good engine. And secondly, that has repeated itself just a month later where we were able to partner with the Lee Inicio group. And we all know the Lee Inicio story with Massage Envy, subsequently the Joint, which went public, amazing Lash Studio, which is doing extraordinarily well. And now with their new concept, Serious Day Spa. And they've entrusted in us the same exact mentality where we come in, we invest in the business, and we put our mouth, you know, the money where the mouth is, and then we grow the development piece and let them do what they do extraordinarily well. So just those two, if I can just point to those two partnerships, it speaks to that comment you just made. So we're looking, and by the way, Due North is going to be rolling out 3 to 5 more concepts over the next 2 years, and the Lee Inicio group will probably roll out more as well. So inherently, we've got some brands to, and a lot of work to do. You know, Kevin Blackwell's stated goal with Due North was 1,000 units in 5 years. So we've got our work cut out for us. There's no doubt about it. It made me kind of, you know, take a step back, but we're up for the challenge. So we've got those partnerships to point to. We're literally in the midst of a capital raise right now, right? So the Z-Growth capital side of the business, we're out there raising $30 million. And we then take the capital to deploy into the likes of the Due North brands. We can get specific into some of them if you'd like, and into the likes of the Lee Inicio group, you know, Serious Day Spa brand. So to your opening statement, Paul, which thank you for quoting me on that. I think that's kind of extraordinarily relevant for us. Is that, you know, we've recognized that, you know, for investors, you mitigate that risk. We feel we can mitigate the risk, and we feel like we can maximize our investment if we can control it somewhat. And the way in which we control it is our team is hired as the exclusive franchise sales development arm with dedicated people on payroll, tenure franchise salespeople with 10-plus years experience. These are not newbies. So when we can help control that process and be part of the strategy and have skin in the game, we feel that that's really, you know, owning up to our clients that, you know, we're here to help you grow. So that's really the beauty about Z-Growth Partners.
Absolutely. That's some interesting information you're sharing. And, you know, there's so much movement going on in franchising right now. And I want to, before I ask you about, you know, what you really saw as the wiggle room to enter this space, which of course is getting fairly crowded of late. I want to go way back and ask you if Lacey High School means anything to you.
Wait a minute. How do you have a connection to my high school? Lacey High School, yes, a nice little lake community in Ocean County, New Jersey, a great little place to grow up. Pretty quiet town, not a heck of a lot going on, but a heck of a fun place to grow up.
Yeah, so it's interesting. In the Asbury Park, in the Asbury Park Press, which of course has been available since 1905 to 2017, with some 2.2 million papers archived online. And I'll read this, and it says, Scott Schubiger, a Lacey High School graduate, completed his Bowdoin College of Brunswick, Maine football career as an anchor on the Great Scott defensive forward wall. Hey, Stan, would you believe this, that all the defensive linemen, five of them on this defensive line, were all named Scott?
Yes.
Leave it to you to pull this out.
That is a great find. That is a great find.
Yeah,
we had a nose guard, Scott, that was, gosh, about 5 foot six. You couldn't block him. Tasmanian devil. We had two big tackles out of Florida, and we had two defensive ends, one out of St. Louis and myself. And to believe it or not, all five were named Scott, yes.
Yeah, great Scott.
You can't make that up, Paul.
Sure. No, you can't make that up, and I love pulling out that type of information. Usually Stan will find something that you guys are connected way, way back, but obviously your connection is far more significant than what I found, but I always like to have a little personal side of things.
That was great.
It's interesting.
I totally forgot about that, Paul. Thanks for reminding me. That was great.
Paul raises an interesting question, Scott. That your space is getting really crowded. There are a great many people
mm-hmm.
just circling the wagons, and I guess driving up the multiples of value to a great many companies that might be cashing out well these days because of all the interest in investment in franchising. What do you see? What are the tea leaves that you're reading as to what that space looks like here for the balance of this year and moving forward with a new administration?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, again, it's a space that there's so many players that we have to sift through that, and we want to help every single founder out there that reaches out to us and is passionate and has this great brand, but one unit or two units, they don't know how to franchise it, or maybe they have an FD and they took one check, but they really don't know how to grow it, right? So you want to help these individuals, and that's the beauty of it, when we can get these guys to start seeing growth. And first and foremost, just to from a discipline standpoint, we know that we look for a certain number of things in a concept, and they have to, right? For us, we have created sort of a proprietary scorecard internally for our benefit, for our investment committee's benefit, right? And these are things that are important to us. This doesn't necessarily mean it's a list that's important to everyone, but for us to even think about investing in them and growing this business, I'll give you some examples of things that we really look for and actually literally scorecard on a spreadsheet. And that would be, first and foremost, the first question we ask literally is, can a franchisee make money in this concept? Because it begins and ends with the franchisee. In fact, when we created our name, gosh, it took us a day and a half in a room, on and off, coming up with a name. You wouldn't believe it. And we finally settled on Z Growth, playing off the emphasis of franchisee and franchisor, because at the end of the day, we help both. We're growing both constituents. So that's why we chose the name Z Group. But it starts and ends with the franchisee. And if we don't have that mindset, and if the franchisor does not have that mindset, there will never be an exit or a pot at the end of that rainbow. I can't tell you how many times when a private equity would even acquire something and then dig into the weeds and say, oh my gosh, half these franchisees are disgruntled. They're not going to renew. The revenue stream is going to erode. Help, Scott, come in. Let's get new franchisees, right? So it begins and ends with the franchisee. And so what does that mean to us? That means we look at back of the napkin math, unit economics. What is the cost to open the unit? What is the AUV? What's the net margin, and what's the return on that investment, right? So as we consult with these candidates with our team, we need to feel really good that this franchisee is going to be very successful and profitable as they enter, you know, owning their own business. So that's very important. Another thing that we try to look for, which isn't always the case, is does the brand have a competitive advantage or have a moat? You know, is there some type of moat that this brand can bring to the table to give them some type of early adoption lead or competitive advantage or differentiation? So we look at that. Is it in growing segment that has room for another strong player? You know, it could be a growing segment, but there's already five or six. You know, no disrespect to frozen yogurts, but we're not so enamored with the 15th frozen yogurt play, right? That just doesn't enamor us, and we think it would be a long road. So we really look for the segment, the space they're in, what's the market look like, what are the trends, right? And that's where we do a lot of the data and a lot of the conferences come into play with all the great stuff. We'll look at is, you know, this is a big one for us. Is there currently strong management with an infrastructure, or is there just a founder with a great idea in one location? Not to say that the founder with the one location is bad. It just, again, it gets back to for us and what we do, we're best served when they have some type of management team, perhaps not complete. They may need a hire or two, but there is some type of management infrastructure. Maybe a proof of concept in two or three markets with 5 to 10 units open, right? That's kind of what we look for. So these are some of the parameters that are important to us. And I'd say lastly, another really big one is we call it executive vision alignment. And what we mean by that is as we have discussions with the founder, you know, a lot of times the founder will say, well, geez, you know, I've built this, my blood, sweat, and tears, it's my DNA. I spent 6 years of my life building this, and I've got two units, and now you're asking to invest in my business and take, you know, X percent. And so it really has to be a mindset where, you know, you're making either minority or majority investment, of which we've done both, and I'm okay with that because I know that you're going to get me to, you know, from $1.5 million EBITDA to 12 or 15 million EBITDA, right? And so what does that mean for me? So, you know, so that's a very important one. And if we don't have vision alignment, I always say to the gentleman or the lady, you know, congratulations on what you've built. We're going to continue to root for you. If we run into each other, we'll have a beer. But just for us at this time, it's probably not a good fit, right? So these are some of the things that we look for that speak to the sort of the deal discipline principle that I've mentioned a few times. As far as trends go, you know, we see some interesting things, believe it or not, in a number of categories. We like the health and wellness space. I'll give you an example. Sirius Day Spa, which we're now covering, is a tremendous concept. You know, there are a lot. Once Massage Envy was out there, there were a lot of carbon copies of singular massage places, and many doing well. They're sort of the singular one-trick pony for lashes or nails or waxing. With Sirius Day Spa, we're going the other way. We're going to where you can get all of these services under one roof. So think membership model, consumer walks in. Instead of getting in the car and going to six different places, they could get nails, waxing, blowout, skincare, massage, all done under one roof. So we really like the concept. It's been really well thought out, and we think just as highlighting that one, that's a really good example of shaking up the industry in health and wellness. And we think we've got an early adoption lead with this concept to grab market share. Another market that we like is, you know, believe it or not, restaurants. There's a ton, but there are some really, really neat things that Due North is doing in this space that it makes it very cognizant to the millennial force out there, right? How do they buy? Where do they dine? Where do they hover? What do they like to do? What do they like to eat? And so when we can create some brands from scratch, so to speak, we think that they have a great template for some of these brands. Give you another example. Scotty's Brew House is an acquisition that was just made by Due North. Scotty's Brew House was created by a gentleman by the name of Scott Weiss, who I'll be with tomorrow. We're looking at a site down in Florida for further growth. And it's a 20-year-old Indiana-based sports bar brew house that has got Scott's DNA all over it. He's got this tremendous culture, tremendous work ethic. His people are well-trained. They have business cards the day they're hired that say, at the end of my shift, I want to make blank proud of me, just to give you an example. And they carry this card with them. And so just one small example of how when you're taking care of your people, they will take care of your customer. And when you walk into a Scotty's, which has 19 open, 17 in Indiana, one in Illinois, and one in Florida, and we'll be growing that brand significantly from the Midwest out, you feel it. It's very palpable. And it's just a tremendous concept that is done well. So in this day and age where there's a lot of restaurants that, as we know, we hear almost every other day, 43 of these are closing, 53 of these are closing. I think for some of those larger Titanic-like brands, they're harder to shift and move quickly and be nimble. And I think it's all about being nimble, being receptive to what the consumer is all about today. And so we look for concepts that are more in tune to the millennial base and where we're going, as opposed to looking at some years-long established brands that need some fine-tuning. And so that's kind of where we lie.
You're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman along with Paul Segreto, and we're talking with Scott Schubiger, president of Z Growth Partners. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years with healthy, sustainable growth, the kind of growth that comes from experience. The Franchise Foundry provides its clients with coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach fostering more effective solutions for the franchisor's corporate team as well as for their franchisees. Franchise Foundry is rich in practical, hands-on experience and expertise in general business management, operational and change management, and they are skilled and proficient in digital marketing, franchise recruitment, and development as well. The Foundry team can also assist you with creating roadmaps for potential mergers and acquisitions and the guidance needed to navigate them. Learn more about all of this and more. Talk to Paul Segreto and the Franchise Foundry. You'll find them at www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM enables you to house and manage all of your messages to and from prospective and existing franchisees, including texts along with emails. FRM also enables simple collaborative communications between you and your prospective and existing franchisees. Make today the day you give FRM a look and assure yourself that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including text messaging, is being tracked and stored in candidate and franchisee records. FRM also provides a state-of-the-art digital experience for your prospective franchisees as they learn about your brands in a digital environment that's unlike anything ever seen before in old-style virtual brochures. No long-term contracts, multiple upgrades at no additional cost each year. You're always operating the latest and greatest versions of FRM's software. No excuses, just solutions, on the web at frmsolutions.com.
Well, Scott, you definitely provided us with a great deal of information, and I know as our listening audience is full of individuals that are either have founded emerging brands or maybe entering into franchising. So it certainly is exciting to see the type of possibilities that Z Growth is bringing to the table. But you also mentioned early on that you looked at 70-something companies and made a deal with three. So I have a couple of questions. The first one that I'll ask you to answer is, you know, what did you find, and I'll use, for lack of a better word, wrong, what did you find wrong? What were the types of things you found wrong with those 74 companies that, and I'm sure there's some common denominators, that made you look elsewhere?
Sure. And, you know, I'm going to just go back and kind of maybe change the word wrong, if I may, Paul, because I don't want to yep. create the image that what the founder has done to date is wrong, I think it's almost, a better word may be, customary or a natural path to them. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you've got a concept and you've got a great idea and you've got passion and you've got your one unit open and now you're ready to go and, you know, attorneys are knocking on your door to write an FDD and you're excited and you think you're ready to be a franchise, but yet you take a check from somebody even, you're like, wow, money came in, I've got a franchise. I never want to dispel that enthusiasm, but I think what happens is they get ahead of the skis a little bit. And so they start that process way too prematurely before they really think it through and are well-structured and foundationally to franchise. So I would say that would be a common theme that we see. And so we would try to guide them and say, look, we love your concept, but we personally, Z-Growth, needs proof of concept. We need to see it more. So here's a couple folks that we think may be able to help you. And always, always, always giving free advice, pay it forward. You know, that gentleman or lady will come back in spades, you know, if you were able to help them get to that next step through that gauntlet. So we always try to do that. We just feel really good about doing that and sharing what we know. But I would say it's that where, you know, they're not quite ready to franchise, and yet they go out with an FDD. And, you know, they don't. And just as probably another issue would be they take a franchise check, tell a franchisee, okay, you're going to open in 6 months, and there's no operational support. They really don't have a good way of finding a location. Once the door's open for that unit, well, what are you doing for that candidate? You know, do you have a program? Do you have an operations manual? Do you have all the things needed? Because, you know, when you're starting out and you have a couple pioneers in your system, they've got to become rock stars or your system's going to really just die on the vine, in my opinion. So I think they just make some of those classic mistakes, you know, a little of prematurity in what they do. That's what we would see a lot. And what we really try to tell them is, look, guys, begin with the end in mind. And what I mean by that is they'll all tell you, all founders will tell you that they want to get to a system where it's a substantial size, but also there's a monetization event at some point, right? If you're not thinking about your monetization event from the beginning, then you're losing the ability to have a great monetization event. So with beginning with the end in mind, we then back into it and say, well, we know from being on both sides of the fence, what are these private equity companies looking for when you get to a 5 to 6 to 8 million EBITDA and they start knocking? What's going to raise your multiple? What's going to give you a 10x instead of a 6x? You know, so there are a lot of things that we try to talk them through that systematically must happen as they're building their system to get to that great event at the end of the day. And that event can come in 2 years, it can come in 5 years, it can come in 8 years. But, you know, all along the way, we believe that you should be doing the necessary steps that will then get the next step, which will get you that result that you want.
So looking at it from the perspective of a proven concept, are you looking for brands that have a proven concept as a corporate operation and maybe it's a location or two before they've actually started franchising, or do you prefer them to have several units under their belt in franchising before you come on board, of course, albeit with a proven concept behind it?
Yeah, I would say for us it's the latter. We would prefer that they have either, you know, a company-owned unit or two and two or three franchise units open, ideally in more than one unit. You know, if they're Dallas-based and they have one unit and they sold one to their brother and he's in Dallas, that's good, but it would be more meaningful if we had it in multiple areas or geographical locations. So so we're really narrowing that funnel down for us to sort of those scorecard-like parameters for us or filters. And so when you really say 72-3, yeah, if we're deal disciplined enough about it, there aren't a ton of them that fit our criteria. And that just helps us get them out of the gate quickly, right? What we are not about, although we could be, but we just prefer not to be, is really coming in with just the founder and going through and hiring the C-suite and do, like all of that, like hiring the key people, right? Our preference would be they're somewhat down that path and they may need one or two more, but they're somewhat down that path and they've got a few franchises open. That's more what we are looking for. Those are the candidates that, you know, they're kind of like on the precipice. They know they've got something good. They know they've got a proof of concept, but they're starving for capital, right? Number one, let's not forget the capital piece of this. We're not coming in just to help them. We're giving them cash injection, right? Which then goes into the business. So we're giving them the capital needed to really fill out that management team or systems that need to be put in place to grow the system. So we put our money where our mouth is in that way, where we're giving them a capital injection. Some little bit, of course, may get taken off the top by the founder, but we prefer when the founder stays along for the ride and helps us with his vision get to that monetization event, the next monetization event. And so that's really what we're honed and focused in on.
So from that perspective of putting your money where your mouth is and you make a financial injection into the company, what type of criteria is in place as to how that money is invested in things? And, of course, you know, to your point that some might be taken off the top by the business owner. How does that work out? I mean, you have different people involved now in management. It's a small group. You put a significant money in. Obviously, it's got to go to certain things. How does that all play out with a sure. young brand and probably a lot of times when an individual that is not as sophisticated in business as on your side of the table?
Right. Great question. So literally in the agreement, in the contract that we strike, it'll say, you know, here's the capital investment for X percent ownership. Here's what will be paid out to the founder. And the rest of use of funds will be put to use in the company. And literally there's a very detailed Excel spreadsheet oftentimes that talks about what's the budget for 2017, 18, 19. Usually we look out 2 to 3 years. And how are we going to be, you know, forecasting the use of those funds in those areas? Some may be in operations. A lot will be in marketing. Some may be in 2 more C-level hires. You know, so all of that gets done on the front end of a deal, where there's nothing left to chance, so to speak, for the founder. Again, this is a true partnership. You know, this isn't a takeout. We're not looking to make that, and there's nothing wrong with app strategy too. Some founders just want that. We're more about at the stage where they may take a little bit off the table, but more importantly, that vision of alignment. They want to incorporate their vision and know-how of the brand with our expertise to get it to the level that we all would want.
So from that perspective, the investment making in. How does technology play into the equation? Are you doing a complete evaluation of the technology that they have? And with respect to franchise sales, is Z Growth bringing in their own technology with this? So kind of explain some of that so our listening audience has a better picture.
Yeah, great question. And so what we do is we use FranConnect. We have FranConnect as our back end, and all of our brands and all of our databases, thousands and thousands of people that are either franchisee candidates or just people we know in the industry, because we also have the capital raise. We do a lot of, you know, we use FranConnect as the back office, and that's where our franchise salespeople live. And so we find it to be a very good tool. We also are always on the lookout for ancillary brands and technology companies that we can, have partner with so that we can inject into those businesses. We're looking at everything from HR payroll systems to lead gen mechanisms. You know, there's a lot of new things from a funding mechanism. You know, we're out there looking right now to be able to provide for our franchisee base the ability for each brand to partner with a means of financing as opposed to just relying on SBA loans. So, you know, we're talking with savvy investors here. A lot of our franchisees are not one unit. A lot of our franchisees in the way we grow are multi-unit individuals who have brands of other concepts. Think a Dunkin' guy who has 20 Dunkins who may want, you know, three Scotty's Brew Houses or three Encounters, which is this incredibly breakfast, brunch, lunch place that we're going to be rolling out here. So when we talk to those individuals, although they may have the means to the capital, sometimes they want to keep some of their powder dry. And so we're looking for partners that are inherent into the brand that we can just go to for some of these mechanisms. So we're always on the lookout for good partners, good service providers that can help help fill out you know, the pieces to the puzzle, if you will.
Well, I'm always interested in looking for people who are looking for alternatives to some of the things they're currently doing, but we'll let that slide until we go offline and talk about that at a later date. I'm interested today in how you're going how you're going about finding some of the great buyers for these brands. So people who we've talked a lot about who it is that you're focused on at the brand level. Who are your franchise development people going for, and how are they finding the marketplace today? And again, we talked about it being crowded with a lot of private equity investment, but the competition for available prospective franchisees is at a fevered pitch too. So where do you go to separate yourselves from the rest of the field on that front? And as a company who's focused so on development,
absolutely,
I've got to believe you got some nuggets to share with our audience.
Yeah, thank you. And that's a great question. You know, I think for us, first and foremost, just understand that when we grow systems, we have a really a philosophy where we want to grow brands that we colonize markets, right? So what do I mean by that? So if we're going to go to Florida or Southern Florida, we're going to make darn sure that we're going to do laser-like focus of lead generation in that area, and I can get into some of the tactics in a second, that makes sure that there's brand equity there. We're not going to get one unit and leave it on an island, which, of course, is another classic mistake that we see, Paul, is that sometimes you'll see one unit in Seattle and one in Maine and one in Austin, Texas, and one in Florida. Boy, I feel, you know, that for us, that is not the preferred method, right? The preferred method is we need to be in 7 to 10 markets with 10 to 20 units, and we can leave the runway long enough for the next guy, right? Let's do the markets we go into very, very well. Let's have happy franchisees with brand equity around them. You know, that also plays into, well, how do you tee it up? How do you make it the best, you know, perhaps the best multiple that you can? It's those types of things as you colonize and cluster your units that are very attractive to the PE firm. So how do we get there? How do we do that? I would like to say that we've got tremendous people that, you know, with years of experience in doing this, trials and tribulations of EDM campaign and what works out in that field. I would say it goes hand in hand. We know already when we take a brand, we sit down and say, these are the 7 or 10 markets we are going to. So with that, we go with laser-like focus into those markets in a number of ways. And we'll reach out to folks that we know have multi-brands or, you know, multi-units of brands in those areas. We've got a pretty good robust database of you know, folks in that regard from years and years of networking. And then, of course, we do Sirius radio spots. We've actually had great success with Sirius radio. One concept, we are promoting multi-unit franchises, and I would say the caliber of the lead coming in on Sirius radio is exceptional. I would say 7 out of 10 leads coming through Sirius radio are qualified financially. It's been it's been astonishing to me how high the quality is of Sirius radio. So I would ask any of the listeners or people who may hear of this to explore that avenue, because it's been very, very successful for us and for some of the brands we represent. So it's a lot of that. It's storytelling, right? Today, and you've heard a lot about some of this stuff at the IFA and different shows, but it's so true. What's the persona of the candidate we're looking for? Who's the buyer? What do they like? What resonates with them? What's the story you're telling? Why would they invest in this brand over 2,000 others? So it's those things that we spend an exorbitant amount of time on up front, getting right, so that when we go hit the market, we've got some things that will resonate with those potential buyers. So, you know, there's a lot of things we could spend hours on the lead gen piece alone, but we tend to not skimp on lead gen budget, right? But we'd like to do it in what we think are more meaningful ways, or more meaningful ways, I guess, for today's buyer, right? And so that's what we focus on.
So it's real interesting, and of course, storytelling is very, very big these days, and I certainly agree. Storytelling really paints a nice picture, especially when working with an emerging brand. You know, Scott, I really appreciate you being on Franchise Today. We are going to be running out of time here pretty quick. Why don't you, real brief, give the listening audience an idea on how to get in touch with you, should they have a hot brand for you, or maybe for a question that you might be able to answer about their brand.
Well, great. Thanks, Paul and Stan. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to do so. And simply, my email is slastname@zgrowth.com, and I'll just spell it very quickly, SSCHUB@zgrowth.com. My mobile number, which you're all more than happy to call me on, because I'm out and about and on the road a lot, and I love to get calls real time and respond, is 973-525-9811. You can also find out a lot more about Zgrowth at simply www.zgrowth.com.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm sure you'll be getting some people very interested. I'm sure you'll see a tick up on your website. I have been in and around your website, and there's some great information there. And I'll tell the emerging brands that might be listening in, or the individuals that are thinking about getting into franchising, you know, really take note on some of the things that Scott was talking about, as well as look at the website. There's some great information there to give you some nuggets to take away from the show, and also to be able to utilize them for your own brand as you're moving forward. And one of the ones that I really loved was think of the end from the very beginning. I think that's very great advice. Again, Scott, thanks for being our guest today on Franchise Today.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate you having me, and have a great rest of the week.
You do the same.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah. Well, Austin, I think it's begin with the end in mind, which is a Stephen Covey, one of seven habits of highly effective people, begin with the end in mind, no doubt.
Yeah. Absolutely, and of course, speaking at the end, it is that time for Franchise Today to start, you know, setting into the sunset for another great show and another great day. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best.
Stan the Man.
The very best.
Paul Segretto.
Franchising. Franchise Today is
Franchising Today. Sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise Today. Sustainable growth to sensible franchise. Franchise Today. Franchise Today. Franchise Today.